This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We know, we kind of have an idea that the Giants aren't going to take a quarterback at number 3, but at some point we expect them to take a quarterback in the draft, which leads us to Shedeur Sanders potentially falling to the Jets at number 7. And for me, I'm not saying I love Shedeur Sanders, but I do love the idea of potentially getting value at a premium position. And it is something that if the Jets like Shedeur Sanders at 7, I would highly recommend them selecting the quarterback now, even if it's not a necessity.
I'm not doing it, because if I don't love the player, I'm just not taking you that high. And there's no urgency from this administration, if you will. You know, they get to establish a foundation, put the bricks in there, and just establish some roster balance, some continuity. And listen, I think as I stretch this out, and I do not want him at number 7 for the Jets, as I just said, I think the biggest issue with both of these teams is we've sat there comatose outside of 2022 watching inept performance after inept performance, is that we can very clearly identify, wow, these teams suck, but we can't even tell you what their identity is. It's just been a collection of mishmash and Hail Marys and has-beens and never-wases. That's what we've watched, and we all know that, right? So to me, the main mission is to add to the identity. For the Giants, I think their identity next year, because we saw this blossoming a year ago, is going to be defense. And from the Jets' perspective, I think their identity, I won't go so far as to say that it's going to be. What I will say is it should be a dominant offensive line that will enable Fields to do some stuff, because he's not a great thrower of the ball. But if you can run, do a little play action, the Jets can have a pretty interesting season, at least be a representative offense, not a nothing burger. I can't even think of anything else to say there. I just think that both of these teams, if they play this properly and don't succumb to the pressures, they can land superstars at 3-7.
Understood, but eventually you're going to need the quarterback. And from a Jets perspective, they hope to never be picking this high again. This might be, when we look back in this in 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever many years, this might end up being their best opportunity if Sanders does fall to them at number 7, where they could have a quarterback that was expected to go number 2 by many people for a long time, and at the very least, the consensus second best quarterback overall in this draft. Now, again, does that mean that he's going to be a hit? No, it doesn't. But it also doesn't mean that he's guaranteed to be a bust either, just because you don't like him or some others may not like
him.
If he is there at number 7, that is something I think they strongly have to consider, the value of it and the potential of locking up a franchise quarterback, which ultimately, I know I want to build inside out. That's the right way to do it, the hard way, not the sexy way. But if you have a potential franchise quarterback there at number 7 and you get value for that, it's worth the risk for me.
I understand that. And it's a different philosophy than mine for sure. I just popped up the standings and from last year, just so I wasn't missing anything. I just think the quarterback market's changed so much. I mean, I remember when Josh Allen was drafted, and I remember watching his game against Iowa on the Big Ten Network and one other game. I think it was the one of the bowl games that John Elway went to watch when he was still running the Denver Broncos there. And I'm like, ooh, I love his size, but he can't throw it. He's awful. Like,
right.
How do you take this kid? The Bills are one of the best teams in football, at least in terms of an offensive, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in football. Whereas, conversely, the Jets, they get a Hall of Famer, and we know what happened there. They stink. And then the Ravens, they win 12 games. Lamar Jackson was barely drafted in round one. And if Ozzie Newsome wasn't so brilliant and ahead of the curve, he would have been a second-round pick. They're a really good organization. The Steelers, they won 10 times. They won it with a couple of Band-Aids, Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. What I'm saying is there's unconventional ways to become really good.
Yeah.
And then there's other ways, like the Jaguars, who had four wins, who stink. We all thought Lawrence was going to be some transcendent player. He's not. You know, then you look at like the Broncos, who... All right, I said, and we like this kid. They draft him. And some people are like, oh, it's a little early. You got the right coach. Bang, 10 wins, playoff team. Eagles, 14 wins, Super Bowl champs. Their quarterback was a second-round pick. I hear you. I do know what you mean. But I have opened up my mind to more unconventional ways to land a quarterback, unlike the old days.
The other thing I would say, and we're going to hear from Joe Shane in a little bit. He's having his pre-draft meeting with the media. So
I'm looking forward to this.
Me too. I can't wait for it. If I were to ask you which regime, now they're in totally different spots. As we said before, in case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Totally different spots. Jets, year one, Muji, Aaron Glenn, blank canvas, clean slate. They really can go whichever way they want. And that's why I say if he falls to them, it's at least something that I would strongly consider.
Mm-hmm.
Which regime do you trust?
Well, here's the problem. If I say that I trust Muji and Glenn, it's blind trust because they haven't done a damn thing.
Right. Well.
I know what you're saying.
You know,
in terms of the draft stuff. I do think they've shown good conviction and good messaging because it's been very quiet. So in 2 months, they changed the noise. They very quickly moved on from Rodgers, very quickly pivoted to Justin Fields. They seem to be decisive and in lockstep with what they want to do. So I guess in a long way, what I'm saying is it's the Jets, even though they haven't had a single draft, whereas the Giants, I would not have brought back those two men this year.
So I trust the Jets at 7, regardless of what their decision ends up being. I trust them to make the right decision. If they don't take Sanders and he's there, it's because they don't love him, not because I think they're punting on the value of the position. They just don't love him there. And we'll see what happens. Maybe they trade out. Who knows? But if they did take him, I also would trust them to say, well, they identified this guy as somebody who's going to fit in their building, character, all that. They thought it was worthy of taking that big leap and risk. That takes some guts to be able to make that decision in year one with Muji and Glenn at this point, where it's not a position of need because they already have their quarterback for the next year, potentially two, in Justin Fields. So I would trust them to do that as well. Whereas the Giants, it's not that I don't trust them at all. I trust them a lot less based on their track record, specifically last year's draft, where at least in my mind, you could justify believing in Daniel Jones for a year or two. You could not justify believing in Daniel Jones, in my opinion, last year in a quarterback-rich draft with a high pick. That, to me, is when they should have fired that bullet. They did not, and now they're just, in my mind, a lost cause anyway, because even if they take a quarterback later in the draft, which I think they're going to do, I don't know if they're going to be able to stick around enough to develop that said quarterback.
That's the big question, and we don't know the answer. We've given you some guesses with timelines. We've laid it out as clearly as you could possibly lay it out. Next week, a week from tomorrow, we'll get the answer, at least in terms of the first round. But forget about Muji and Glenn, and forget about Shane and Dable name-wise. Forget about the Jets and the Giants. Let's focus on emotions for a second. And I want to take the scenario that you just laid out with the Jets taking a quarterback at 7, which I would not do, as I'm on the record.
Right.
But at least if they did do that, or even drop back to 12 and took a quarterback, a different one than Sanders, or Sanders, whatever, but took a quarterback with their first pick, the Jets are operating with a clear head. They're not desperate. They're not reaching. They're not trying to convince themselves that something is there because they know that they need a quarterback. They are watching, and it is a pure, uninterrupted football decision. Whereas with the Giants, the desperation is now seeping in. The time crunch. We got to get one.
There's
other factors which can really get in their way of doing the right thing.
Which is maybe why I trust the Jets more, even without seeing that the resume that the Giants have, because their heads are clear, or at least it appears that way going into this draft, where they could do anything and it's okay. The Giants kind of have their hand forced to a certain extent. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll hear from Joe Shane as soon as we get that sound. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Jason is in North Bergen, New Jersey. What's up, Jason?
What's up, boys? Thanks for taking the call.
All right, Jay. What's going on, bud? What you got?
the more I listen to you guys, BT, I used to never agree with you. I can't agree with you more lately. And Sal, you're in the woods. Your Batman take from a couple weeks ago was insane. But moving on from that, Sal, for months, you guys leading up to the end of the season and Shane and Dable's jobs being in jeopardy, were like, oh, these guys are going to be desperate. They're going to reach. If they don't take Sanders, it proves they're not reaching and they're just worried about the franchise. Abdul Carter or the DB from Buffalo, his name escapes me.
Hunter,
yeah. Are the picks there if they're available. If they take Sanders, then it's a desperation reach move.
How do you know that? Now, I tend to agree with you that I don't think that they like him, but if they did, it would not be a reach. Some people thought he was going to go number two.
It would. No, there's not many people. Like in the beginning, maybe a couple months ago, that was it. But now that people are digging through the video and actually scouting them, mm-hmm. Sanders is falling like a rock.
Yeah, okay. He is.
Like,
but I guess the other point, though, Jason, well, I understand what you're saying is I think the Giants need to draft a quarterback this draft. So whether it is Sanders at three, and I'm not advocating that they do that, I'm just saying they better get a quarterback, a real one with potential to be a franchise quarterback.
I agree with you, but this is my take. If I feel like Jones was almost forced upon them by management because Mara just loved him and he wanted to give the kid a chance and blah, blah, blah. And Shane was smart. He goes, I'm going to give him a 2-year deal and we can get out of it. I think that there were times that we watched the games where you're like, Jones, throw the ball. The guy's wide open. Russell Wilson is not going to miss those throws. Now, is this team going to win 10 games, 12 games? No, but they're going to be a better product with Russell Wilson as they were with Jones. So I think that as long as the team looks okay, next year's draft is a quarterback draft.
Mm-hmm.
That is like last year. Like, that's where you give Dable and Shane. If this team looks a little bit alive and plays okay, you give them a shot next year to actually look when the quarterbacks are plentiful. And if they don't take one then, because look, I there was three quarterbacks in the last 10 years that have been taken out of the first round that are hit. Hurts, what's-his-face in San Francisco,
and
Prescott. Purdy. Yeah. That's it. So this draft is not a rich quarterback draft. A Dart is going to cost a head coach his job. He's not great. He's a great athlete, but he's not great.
Yeah, well,
but thanks for the time, guys.
Thank you.
Good call, man. And now you don't, and neither do I, you don't know that Dart's not going to be good. I think Dart's going to be better than Sanders. Now, will it be good enough to justify whatever team picks him, picking him? I don't know that. See, I think that the Giants, well, quick sidestep. You've heard the expression, trust your gut.
Yeah.
First instinct, right?
Right.
Not that that's always right, but it's generally a pretty good flashlight to get you out of the woods when you're a little confused.
Yes.
Right? Trust your gut.
Yes.
Okay, so to me, the Giants' gut, and they showed us their cards months ago when they tried to get Stafford. Without saying it, they could have just as easily grabbed the microphone and say, hey, listen, guys, you know, Giant fans, we don't like Sanders. We don't trust Ward. We're not taking one of these guys. We want Stafford. Because if they didn't want Stafford, they wouldn't have offered him 3 years at $50 million a year, which is what they offered him. All right, now, maybe he got played, or maybe the Giants got played. That's immaterial right now. The Giants wanted Matthew Stafford. And it's not for a one-year deal, or maybe two, like Rodgers with the Jets a couple years ago. There's more meat on the bone because he's younger, all right, and he's still healthy right now. So if they wanted Stafford, they told us back then, we don't love Ward, we don't love Sanders. So why are we overthinking this now?
Correct. Here's the other part of that, though. Because I'm saying they need to find a franchise quarterback. And I'm saying that because I want to see this regime draft and develop a franchise quarterback. I don't know how you could judge any regime that doesn't eventually do that. They have chosen Daniel Jones, whether he's forced on them or not, for far too long. They punted on a franchise quarterback selection a year ago, which really bothered me. Now I feel like they're in a spot where they have to do it, because if they don't, to our caller's point, and we don't necessarily agree with it, certainly you don't, because you were saying you don't want them to force the issue and take a quarterback just to take one. Because
worst thing they could do.
Okay, which I kind of agree with. However, if they don't take a quarterback this year, and they don't have a good season, which I don't anticipate, how long are we going to watch Shane and Dable? How long are we going to wait for them to try to get the franchise quarterback? They're probably not going to be around to see it. And then at the end of that, we will have had 4 years where we're saying they won early, you know, not even a great season, but they won early and won a playoff game. Since then, it's been bad. They haven't drafted a franchise quarterback, and they potentially could be out, and then you're going to start the whole thing over again.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a good path here. If you don't take a franchise quarterback, or even if you do and you take one later and you don't win this year, they're screwed either way. I think the Giants, unfortunately, I believe that Shane and Dable sealed their fate with their decision last year by passing on a quarterback.
Listen, we've had this discussion a lot. And I think the most fascinating aspect of this is it's a ton of conjecture because we really don't know what Mara's thinking. We don't know.
Now, but he has left some breadcrumbs here.
Yeah, but I don't know how accurate it's been.
Fair enough. I
don't know. There may have been an intimation, guys, get the best player.
I mean, BT, people were flying planes over saying fire everybody.
I understand that. And then it got shut down. I know.
But
it happened to Idzik, too.
Not just us saying it. No, the fan base is going to go.
The fans are disgusted with the Giants. I think they're disgusted with Shane. I think they're disgusted with Dable. And I think they're disgusted with Mara. And they should be. But I think what's interesting about this part is this we could throw something against the wall. I have no idea what John Mara's thinking. Now, I'm going to contrast this to another opinion. I don't think the Knicks are going to win the championship, and I don't think they're going to beat Boston because I've watched them play all year. I've watched them. They look different than they did a year ago. I base my reasoning for the Knicks having a ceiling that's lower than probably some fans want to hear, but that's my opinion. But I've rooted the opinion in evidence. I don't now everything else that we say, Sanders, I don't like him. I love Carter's going to be a stud.
Who the hell knows?
But that's still based in that because we watch these kids play in college and
but still
not as much as the Knicks. I get that, but there's still some visual evidence that gets me in the direction to have an opinion. Same with you,
right?
I don't know what Mara's thinking, so it's a very interesting back and forth that I volley and you say this, and we believe what we believe. We really do. But the answer lies within Mara's tolerance for the rebuild.
Correct. And I guess to your point, then, it's optics on how this season goes. But he did say after the year, if I'm standing in the same place again next year, I don't know how much more I could take. If it's this way again next year, he's going to fire everybody.
Well, he's going to be standing. He's not going to be a playoff team. So he's going to be standing as a non-playoff team.
But
that's where it's nebulous. Is it 7 wins with progress, you stay? Is it 7 wins, no playoffs, you're out? That's what I don't. Nobody knows.
I also believe the Giants believe that they're better than they are.
Well, then, I think the Giants got to tap the brakes just a little bit.
I think they're making a major miscalculation here. Even if they got Matthew Stafford, what do we think?
Like, I know. That's true. That's fair.
What do we think is going to happen?
I don't know.
They're not that good.
No.
So they're selling. Shane and Dable are selling Mara. And again, I don't know if this is actually selling him, but they're selling everybody on the idea of we're going to be better than we were because we're going to get a quarterback that's going to pull the trigger and make some of the easy throws that we expected Jones to make that for whatever reason he couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
That will alone make us a more competitive, better football team.
Yep.
I don't believe that. So now I need to see it. I'm not saying I'm right. It's just I don't believe it. I think there are much more deeper issues than just that. That's a big part of the problem. But I don't look at this defense and say, oh, this defense is great. They're just missing a quarterback, you know, move the football a little bit. And the defense needs to be significantly better. The offense needs to be more consistent without even just the quarterback play. Running the football, I still think they have issues. The offensive line needs to stay healthy. While it's improved, it's got to stay healthy. There's a lot of issues here. The special teams is atrocious. Like, there's a lot of issues. It's not just plug in a professional veteran quarterback like Russell Wilson and expect everything to be great. They're not going to be as good as the Steelers were last year. I don't think so. I don't think they're as well coached. I don't think they have as good a defense.
I agree with you.
So what are we expecting from this Giants team?
Here's what I'm really expecting. All right. This might not satisfy Giant fans, but I am expecting to sit down for the first time in a couple of years every Sunday. And I know the schedule is brutal, which stinks, but it is what it is. I'm expecting to sit down with my roast beef and my mozzarella, and, you know, my little cucumber salad, a little ginger ale, a little oil and vinegar fries, you know, my Sunday, potato chips, you know, the Sunday routine by now, Sal. And I expect the Giants to give us more fourth quarter games in the first 2 months of the season than they did the last two seasons combined. I'm expecting much more competitive football.
Man, do I hope that is the case. I just don't believe it just yet. All right, before we break, we're going to listen to Joe Shane addressing the quarterback situation ahead of the draft.
You discussed right from the beginning about the importance of improving the quarterback position. You've signed a couple of veterans in Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. How important is it for the Giants to select a quarterback at some point in this draft?
With the signing of those two players, I think we put ourselves in a position where, you know, I don't think that's mandatory or something that we're, you know, our feet to the fire and we have to do. You know,
boom.
The two guys we signed have played a lot of ball. They've got a lot of skins on the wall, and I do think we've upgraded that room, you know, compared to where it was a year ago. I like the two guys that we have, and you know, Tommy's still in there, and he's won games for us too, and he's still developing. You know, so we're happy with the makeup of the room right now.
Tells you all you need to know. Now, I'm not saying there's not an element of a smokescreen or not giving away too much there, but what he just told you is we're not picking a quarterback in round one. That's what he told you.
Round one, yes. Doesn't mean they're not going to take a quarterback in general. What he also told you there was they think they're going to be good with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. Let that marinate, Giants fans. They just told you they're happy with the quarterback room in comparison to where it was a year ago. They signed Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston.
What, that's not good?
we'll have more of... I mean, I might trust DeVito more than I trust Wilson and Jameis at this point. I mean, I don't know how anybody could think that those two guys are going to be any good. Better than what they had? Maybe. I'm not definitively sold that Russell Wilson's better than Daniel Jones at this point in his career. At Jones'
best... Throwing the ball?
Yes.
I'll take Wilson.
At Jones' best,
yep.
I think you can make an argument that he's as good as Russell. Now, different strengths...
Mm-hmm.
Specifically throwing the football, Russell should be better at that. I Russell's past his prime. Jameis Winston is an interception machine. They think they're better than they are. And the quarterback that they do take is going to be an afterthought for the future,
mm-hmm.
not in play this year. So they're already going away from what I thought that they should have done. And then we'll see how it works out.
He said a lot more, right, Sue? We got coming up. I can't wait to hear this. I love when the GMs talk. Now, listen, again, they're not going to give you a ton, which is why me and Sal will translate and give you the real.
BT and Sal on the phone. Get back to your calls as well. 888-808-1019. Reacting to Joe Shane as we'll listen to him address the media ahead of the draft next Thursday.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
So we heard what he said before about happy with the quarterback room with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, as hard as that is to believe, meaning that the Giants don't feel like they have to take a quarterback in the draft, specifically early. But what about late in the draft, BT? Joe Shane addresses that in this clip.
You know, backup quarterbacks are between $4 and, say, $10 million. Or, you know, I mean, whatever number you want to throw out. But if you can get a quarterback in the third, fourth, fifth, whoever it is, and he can be our backup quarterback, you know, now you're opening up financial resources that you don't have to spend on a backup quarterback, and he can be a cost-controlled player for 4 years that's not expensive compared to what's on the open market. So, yeah, like, it doesn't have to be, hey, this guy's got to be a starter. Like, it'd be nice to have if it's a young backup quarterback on a rookie contract too, because when you look at what we've paid for backup quarterbacks, whether it was Tyrod, Drew, to where we're now, that's money you can spend elsewhere. So, and you know, to sign a guy with upside at that position that can develop and, you know, maybe win you games, or maybe they develop into a number one. You're always looking at those scenarios.
All right, he got to where I thought he needed to go, but the way the first cut was going, I didn't love it, because that's not how I would have addressed it. If I was asked that question, if I'm Joe Shane, the first 15 or 20 seconds sounded as if they were relying too much on Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. Like, you know, talking about backup quarterbacks. No, dude, at some point you got to find a real starter. I've never opposed you on that. It's just whether or not I think Sanders is good enough to justify taking a three, which I don't. But, I mean, they make it seem like Russell Wilson and Jameis are going to be here 3, 4, 5 years. You have to find eventually a starter somewhere.
This goes back to what I was saying just before. I think the Giants think that they're better than they are. I don't know how you could be encouraged when you hear that from Joe Shane. Not saying that the Giants can't get a good player. Not saying that maybe they can't salvage, you know, a 500 season here. The idea that Joe Shane can answer that question, now, maybe it's a smokescreen, but the idea that he can answer that question about will they draft a quarterback at any point in the draft, and that's what I believe that it was, who was telling me, and he makes it like it's about the backup, where we're all talking about, no, a franchise quarterback, because I got news for you, Joe, Russell Wilson ain't it. Jameis Winston ain't it.
Yeah.
I don't think he knows what he's talking about. Well, I hate to say it like that, but I have no faith in Joe Shane turning this around.
I'm not going to go that far, although, again, I would have not have brought them back. But I can't say I have zero faith, because I've got to at least incorporate the thought that this guy's trying to, you know, throw
smoke
other
screen.
Teams off scent.
Okay.
I mean, the time to hammer them, or the time to really react maybe a little more viscerally, is the day after the draft, and then obviously a month or two into the season when you see who's playing and who's not.
Fair enough. But to your point, don't you think that he could have answered that in a different way?
I would not have answered it that way.
Like, who are you fooling?
Yeah.
It's, by the way, you're not showing your hand if you just say, hey, I'd like to select a franchise quarterback at some point. Doesn't have to be this year. Could be next year. Clearly, this organization needs to find a franchise quarterback. You, what? You can't address the elephant in the room? That's, like, forbidden? We all know the truth. Russell Wilson isn't it. There's not a person walking the face of this earth that thinks at this point, maybe outside of Joe Shane, that Russell Wilson is a franchise quarterback. So I'm confused as to why, if he doesn't think that they need to take one early, fair enough, why you wouldn't feel the need that maybe you have to find one at some point later.
I agree with that. That's why I said if it didn't pick up a little steam at the end, that would have not been very impressive. It wasn't incredibly impressive as it was. Now, listen, there's circumstances where, go back to the end of Eli, all right? Now, let's say Eli's still on the roster and he's aging out like he did, like everybody does, but specific to Eli's situation before they foolishly put Geno in Oakland and butchered that whole thing, which was a mess. They should have done it differently, even though James Geno actually wound up being pretty good. They weren't really wrong, but the execution was sloppy. Point being, if you're Joe Shane and you've got an aging icon that you are preparing to move on from, all right, there's a requirement to show respect and be a little more delicate and not show your cards. You don't want to take his knees out. Russell Wilson hasn't thrown a snap for you, hasn't thrown a ball for you, and Jameis has been in the building for a month and a half. So I don't know really what you're protecting. Yeah, and it's not like, and I'll leave the window a little ajar that it's a smokescreen, but everybody in the NFL knows that the Giants at some point have to be hunting a quarterback. It's like you get a full, oh, wow, the Giants aren't taking a quarterback. Let's rearrange our draft board. Giants don't need a quarterback. Joe Shane just told us that.
I'm going to be nice today and say that I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. My gut is saying I don't trust him at all. Not going to get a turnaround. He'll be gone sooner than later. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that it's a brilliant smokescreen. He's trying to fool everybody and that maybe the Giants could trade up or select a quarterback, not with the third pick, obviously, but a little bit later,
yeah,
and get one that has the potential to be a franchise quarterback. Bottom line to me is, like you said, BT, we're going to find out Thursday. We can react to the sound, and we will because it's fun.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it until Thursday. But come Thursday, or whenever, at the end of the draft, I should say, because it doesn't have to necessarily be Thursday.
I would say by the end of Friday.
Yeah, okay.
Because that's, so what do you get? Okay. What does it go? It's obviously, round one is Thursday, and then Friday's round two and three.
Okay.
And then four, five, six, seven. Like, they got to have a quarterback by the end of round three. But, God, finish your thought.
Well,
I need to jump in.
No. That's the point, is that if they don't come away with a quarterback with the potential to be a franchise quarterback, then they just really, really have no idea to what they're doing. It would be an epic disaster if the Giants at some point don't select a quarterback with the potential not to be a backup, a cheap backup that could save you money that you could spend elsewhere. No. A quarterback with the potential to be a franchise quarterback to take over for Russell Wilson next year. Who's starting next year, week one?
DeVito.
you could sell me on that more than you can. It's not going to be Russell Wilson. It better not be.
Let me ask you this, and this we are in alignment on. You got to take one within the first couple of rounds. You got to take a shot downfield here at some point. But let's say, what do you think the Niners thought was when they made Purdy the last pick of the draft? Do you think they were saying he's a backup? Or do you think they were saying he's a guy that we can envision starting for a team that has a chance with a Super Bowl? I'm pretty sure it was the former. Otherwise, they would have maybe picked him in round six or round five.
I don't know. I would think that you're taking a player without limitations. You're selecting a player saying that we see something in this guy. Now, obviously, at that point, it was a great value. Maybe they saw something in him sooner, but knew they didn't have to select him. And then they're like, wow, I can't believe he's here. Wasn't necessarily a need or a thought at this particular point, but we see something in him that we believe can make him into a player. What the ceiling is, who the hell knows? I don't know if I'd ever think somebody was drafting, especially a quarterback, to be a backup. Draft a quarterback to be a backup?
I think it happens a lot more than you think.
Now, BT, I was just going to say the Niners traded up to get Trey Lance as well.
They did.
So
they did.
I mean, they made a big move to go up and get him.
They did. I think when you talk about depth pieces, like, you know, an extra offensive lineman around five, maybe there's something technically missing. Maybe he's a little light.
Yeah.
You're like, we'll get him in a weight room, or he's a little weak, we'll get him in a weight room, or he's a little slow, but I think in our scheme, you know, we can't justify taking him in round two or round three because he's not a starter, but we coach him up, we get him, you know, in the system. We draft him with the mindset of him being a backup, but also the notion that there's a decent chance that he never materializes more than that. I do think that applies to everybody, but probably a kicker or a punter. When you take guys in round five, it's depth. It's your nickel corner down the road. It's a safety who's going to play a little special teams, or maybe a third, a blocking tight end that maybe, you know, plays 10, 12, 15 snaps a week. I think it's pretty common, actually, when you get to rounds five, six, and seven, you're drafting for a reach without the thought that this guy's going to be a starter necessarily.
All right, let's listen to one more from Joe Shane before we take a break and get back to your calls here. Shane talking about what he looks for at a quarterback.
You know, to me, probably one of the best I've seen is, you know, I've been around, or the ones that I've been around are, you know, the ability to motivate and get people to follow, to bring the team up when things are down and motivate the rest of the group. And we talk about it a lot. You're the face of the franchise. So, like, people are watching you, all eyes are on you. And, you know, your work ethic, how you approach the game, you know, your ability to interact and connect teammates and, you know, across both sides of the ball, offense, defense, I think that's all really important, you know, at that position specifically.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree with that, but that's
pretty
also
basic vanilla stuff right
there. You think, Joe? Oh, you want a quarterback to be a leader? Wow, insightful. I never...
Face of the franchise?
Never thought that...
What a concept.
I mean, come on here. Now, I'm not... Obviously, that is an important aspect of it.
For sure.
And I think Russell Wilson certainly checks that box.
And so does Jameis as a leader.
But didn't Daniel Jones? I mean, that was not an issue with Daniel Jones. Ask any of his teammates, which we had them on when we went to Giants camp a couple years ago.
But he was never the face of the franchise. Saquon was.
Still, he was looked at as a leader.
Yeah, I think his teammates respected his work ethic. He got after it in the weight room. He put his shoulder pads down and took hits. That's how he got hurt in Dallas with his neck.
It was one of his great strengths.
Yes, he was a low maintenance. Yeah, I mean, the problem was he just wasn't good enough. I think if he was 15% better, you got a guy for 10, 12 years. Just couldn't throw it that well.
We agree on that. So then wouldn't Joe Shane's answer, or shouldn't it be different than a guy who could be a leader? You already had that in Daniel Jones, but you moved on from him, and we understand why. So is there a certain type of offense you're looking for? Is there a certain you can't give any kind of insight to what qualities he values in a quarterback other than the most important thing is that he's a leader?
I mean, listen, it probably sounds like we're nitpicking a little bit. I hear you. I mean, I would have answered like, listen, guys, you know, hey, in the NFL, there's just certain things you have to do. You know, we need somebody who can process things quickly, see what's in front of them, and then inspire and then lead. And then you could even throw in...
Dual threat? Do you want somebody that can...
You could have said, I was going to say, preferably, you see the trends into the size of quarterbacks. You know, you have parameters loosely of what we're looking for from a height-strength ratio, like arm talent. Like, you could have thrown a little more in there. Again, tell me what they do in the first three rounds. And if it's not the right thing, then he's going to have a lot of people to answer to.
We'll take a break, come back with some of your calls and more sound from Joe Shane, BT and Sal.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Fan. And the Mets are in a little bit of a mess here.
Series injury.
Yeah. Series injury. They need another starter anyway because of the 13 games in a row without an off day. And Senga is better on extra rest. So they were going to need an extra starter anyway. And now Griffin Canning can't make the start today. So now they have to go to Brazoban to be the opener. A little bit of a mess here. And these things could start to now spiral where you use Brazoban and you're into that bullpen big. And then if you don't follow that up with a good start,
plus you
potentially have to call Brandon Sproat up. You know, they lose last night. Frustrating game. You see the end of the game where I really wanted just, I didn't even care what happened.
Uh-huh.
Get me to Soto. Get me to Soto, especially against that dude who's a flamethrower. What is his name? I had it up.
Was he at 102, right?
Dude, he was. Yeah, Duran, exactly. Duran Soto would have been great drama. Unfortunately, Lindor couldn't get the job done.
He had a rough night.
Yeah, Lindor, yeah, he did. Night. And he took accountability after what would you like to see.
He always
it was
does.
Unacceptable with the errors. And you can't expect that that's going to continue, but it has been a problem here.
He's got 4 or 5 so far.
Costing him early on. Uh-huh. But I wanted to see Soto there. Lindor didn't get the job done. Either way, they're not going to win every game. But now I do start to worry about him a little bit because we were wondering if this is sustainable with the pitching staff has done, and now when you start to have some issues where you're going to have to go into the minors for a start to stretch the guys and give them extra rest, what a rotation that's given you guys that mostly go four or five innings anyway.
Mm.
Now you have an opening, an opener here in Brazoban going against the Twins. And you shouldn't be losing a series to the Twins here. The Twins stink.
It's been cold. It's been empty. Mets are what, 11-6 right now?
Yes.
Okay, 11-6. So, I mean, just to push this forward a little bit to, and you know, encapsulate all the things that you just said, do I look at this Mets team right now and see a 22-12 team? Probably not. Even further, do I seem like 33-18? Meaning, do I think they replicate the first 17? I don't think there's this massive dip. But I also think that what you're a little worried about, I think, pretty much plagues every other team. No, it's not an ideal way to start a rubber match today with an opener or not really knowing what you're getting today, I should say. But I think, Sal, you could go through every other team, yep, including our Yankees in this town where, you know, they've got a bunch of stiffs they're rolling out there on the mound. You don't know what you're going to get. I don't think the Mets are that dissimilar, their situation, from even some of the better situations pitching-wise in baseball.
Understood. Really, there's a lot that they've been overcoming here, winning these games, but still maybe some mild concerns. And look, ultimately, long-term, I think they'll be all right. However, I would like to see them continue to separate themselves from the 500 mark, stock those wins,
sure,
maintain the lead in the division, and be one of those teams that other teams are chasing as opposed to the Mets playing from behind. One other quick note that jumps out to me. We've talked about him a little bit, but I'm starting to fall in love with him as a player. I love Acuna. Luis Angel Acuna, dude, he gives you quality at bats, hits line drives. He's a demon on the base paths with his speed.
He's fast, dude.
There is not, even against a flamethrower like Duran last night, he goes out there and could square it up and put the ball in play and hit it hard somewhere. Good fielder. Maybe we get a look at him in center field. You see they're having McNeil take some reps in center field.
McNeil's
in the minors.
Not a center field. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I know, but
there's no way Jeff McNeil's playing center field. I mean, there's no way he should play center field.
I'm with you.
He can't run.
I'd rather have Acuna out there who's also done it in the minors, so they're just trying to at least get a look from McNeil.
Well,
in the
didn't Acuna, yeah, I agree. Didn't Acuna get a not much, but he got some reps in center field for the Mets last year. Forget about the minors.
I don't recall.
I thought he got out there for a couple times.
I could be mistaken. I don't recall at the major league level. I remember them talking about it that he's done it in the minor leagues where they would feel comfortable to do it in the big leagues. I don't think that ever happened yet. Point is, I think he's going to be an impact player for this team. Not a guy who's going to hit, you know, 30 homers,
yeah,
but a guy who's going to get on base, hit the ball hard, especially setting the table maybe from the bottom of the order. I just love Luis Angel Acuna as a player. Defensively as well, all the things you talk about being a ball player,
yeah,
he can beat you many ways with his quality at bats, defensively, his speed. I love watching him play baseball.
Well, listen, when you have a Lindor, Soto, and then Alonso, I mean, that ball that he, the home run into the wind, that ball was absolutely crying. I mean, Pete,
yeah,
Alonso looks awesome right now. He really does. I'm happy for him. But when you have those three hitters, and I know other guys have to pick it up, you need a couple of guys who can beat you in ways when they if they go 0-4. Or 0 for 3 with a walk, or 0 for 3 reach on an error. And that's not really McNeil. That could be Acuna, and that could be Mauricio down the road. And by the way, you guys may have dodged a bullet last night with Alvarez taking one off the hand after he hit the home run. I know he left the game, but I believe he's playing today, so that could have been a bad situation for
you. Yeah, it doesn't seem to be a big deal, thank goodness, with that. All right, let's get back to the Joe Shane stuff. Joe Shane, here he is today addressing the media, talking about the now and the future as it pertains to the draft.
Yeah, we're always looking at that. All right, that's a good question. And, okay, here's where we are salary cap-wise going into 2026. Here's our players that are going to be UFAs. If there's a guy there in the second round that could maybe he's a backup year one, but then we don't have to pay somebody $20 million. You know, you're looking at it that way. Really good player, eventual starter, you know, where you are salary cap-wise, whose contracts are coming up. So you're always looking into the future. Hey, this is eventual successor to player X if we don't get a deal done or can't extend them. You're always looking into that. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was talking about the other day with our secondary now. I'm like, geez, like 3 years from now, they're all up at the same time. And Dexter's up at the same time. So I'm already, you know, you're projecting down there our rookie class last year if they won a first rounder. So 3 years from now, there's a lot of guys, core guys right now that are, you know, their contracts are up at the same time. So you try to prevent that when you're doing some deals here and there. And, you know, but we're always conscious of that, the, you know, the financial aspect of it. And then how are we going to replace these players?
I know you. What you were saying? Let's see if you're still here in 3 years. You're thinking that we're both thinking that.
Yeah, good news, Joe. You're not going to be around to see that.
No, yeah, we were both looking at each other as he was saying that. So I knew that you were thinking that too. But let me give him a little credit here, okay?
Yeah.
So we talk about self-preservation, and one of the things that really worried me about, you know, certainly Shane and Dable, but Shane in terms of decision making being brought back, is that based on the pressure, you might do things that you that aren't necessarily good for the team, but might save your ass for an extra year or two.
Yeah.
And I give him credit. Like, he talked about, you know, building this thing out and avoiding that the Jets have this with Sauce and Garrett, and it's not exactly optimal. But when you have a situation where you have multiple key components all up in the same year, you do try to avoid that. And for him to even, now, how much does he really care about it? I don't know. But the fact that it's a bit of a factor for him when there's a good chance he's not here tells me that it's not just about saving his ass, but it's about building out the roster as if he's going to be here for a while.
Yeah, I do like that and respect that. And all kidding aside, like, we're having some fun with it, joking around. I hope he's here beyond 3 years. I hope the Giants get a turnaround. I just got to be honest with you and tell you, I don't believe that that's going to be the case. All right, here's Joe Shane again talking about how he's rating the quarterbacks in this draft.
I mean, there's some depth to it. I mean, there's good players for various reasons, different ages, different playtime experience. There's quarterbacks in this draft that'll go on and play and be starters in the league.
All right, Joe, is it possible that you guys actually don't draft a quarterback in this year's NFL draft?
I think it's mandatory to get a quarterback in this year, but how surprised would you be if you got through the entirety of this draft and didn't take a quarterback?
How surprised? Like a percentage or
like, not percentage? do you going in your head? Do you think it's a likelihood that you might end up with a quarterback, or you think? Where do you stand on that at this point?
I don't know what everybody else is. You're dealing with, you know, 31 other teams and how they see their boards. So, yeah, if the value matches up with what we have on a player and there's an opportunity to take any position, we'll do it. But not going to force it if it's not the right value. And, you know, again, if the board lines up and we're on the clock and that's the position that we want to go with, we'll go with it. But, you know, I'm not.
I mean, I like that answer. Now, that's not the answer that a lot of these Giant fans are going to want to hear, but that's the right answer.
Right, so my natural follow-up in hearing that is, yeah, that's great, Joe, but do you ever plan on getting a franchise quarterback? I don't think that that's an unfair question to ask.
No.
Okay, fair enough. You shouldn't be forced into one. You weren't forced into one last year. You didn't take one. You're not going to be forced into one this year. How do you plan on exactly getting a franchise quarterback?
That would have been a good question. I would have liked to hear the answer there. That's going.
BT and Sal on the Fan. You want us to break now? Or you want to hear more? What'd you just say? Break. Okay, we have 57. Okay, let's get a call in here, BT. Lawrence is in Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Yeah, you know, the last thing I'll be surprised about is if this guy messes up the draft again for us. He's messed up the draft 80% of the time. You only need to use one pick on a quarterback, man, and you can use the rest of them anywhere else, however you'd like. But one of those picks better be on a quarterback. And also for his own job preservation, how does he expect to extend his life cycle? If we don't have a young quarterback in here to blame, so he can scapegoat them to keep his job. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're welcome, and thank you for the call for making it. I think the answer to that is if you build a lights out defense, which I don't think they're very far away from doing, Now, is that enough to satisfy John Mara? I don't know. Is there a required win total that's got to come with that? I don't know. Optically, can the offense look again and the defense lights out? Is that enough? I don't know. But I am in the camp, if you build one aspect of your team, I don't mean special teams, offense or defense, and I think they're closer to defense, much closer, that could be, that should be enough for to appease Mara for at least another year if I'm Mara.
Yeah, the path to success for the Giants, it's not impossible. It just is going to be extremely difficult at this particular point. The path for success would be, regardless of what they do in the draft this year, they have to have a successful season on the field this year. I don't believe that that's possible with Russell Wilson as your primary quarterback and with everything else that they have around him. I'm not saying that they can't be improved or okay in other areas.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be as good as they think. Now, if you say that they are going to be good next year, then it gives them another year to continue to build this. And then you see it, you know, they have more success the following year. But again, I ask, well, who's going to be the quarterback? At some point, you know, generally a new regime takes over and they look to find their quarterback. This is odd in that this regime took over, had a quarterback forced on them. They had success with him, extended him, failed miserably with him for multiple years afterward, and neglected to take a quarterback last year and might neglect to do so again this year as it pertains to drafting a franchise quarterback. And they're going into year four. I just don't know how many years are we going to evaluate these guys without them taking their own quarterback?
I get the dissatisfaction and the questions from many, including you. I get it. So, but they also inherited a very unconventional situation.
I know, but...
And I know, at some point you got to get away from that. Like, you can't lean on that forever.
So then they should have more wiggle room. So we shouldn't be talking about year four. It should be, okay, well, these guys are extended beyond next year. I think they're signed through year five. So then it should be even beyond that.
Which is what we've said as well. But, like, all right, so let me ask you this. Let's say the Giants next year, let's say they draft Abdul Carter, all right, and he's as good as we think.
Yep.
And they don't take a court. Maybe they throw a flyer on somebody in round five or round four. Doesn't satisfy us necessarily because it's not top three rounds, but Carter's a stud. Defense is good. Giants go 6-11 or even 5-12, but they're in a lot of games in a brutal schedule, and they are top 12 in points per game allowed. Like, there's tangible evidence that they have gotten the defense right. Here's what I'm going to raise my hand first and answer my own question. I'm bringing them back. I'm not firing them. If you draft Abdul Carter combined with what you had a year ago and some of the other pieces as well, and this begins to show the remnants and shaping toward a top 15, like a definitive, absolute, no doubt, top 15, 14 defense, they get another year from me, even without a quarterback.
And then what? Then we go into
that's when I go into the unconventional route of finding quarterbacks. We talked about this in the first hour. If you guys missed it, free Odyssey app. Like, it's changed. I mean, Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnolds and the Geno Smiths and even Ryan Tannehill, who won 11 games or 10 games multiple years for the Titans. Like, there are at least functional quarterbacks shaking free more and more than ever was the case. So, you know, is it ideal? No, of course you want to draft Eli or Elway or Peyton. I get it, but there's another way to win some games and get in the right direction.